Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Cannabis Marketing Podcast. I'm Rob Howard, founder of Daily Story. Today, we're going to talk about content marketing for cannabis marketers. Joining me is Lindsay Miller. Lindsay is the owner of Content Journey. She spent a decade in politics and almost the same amount of time in the WordPress and WooCommerce ecosystem before combining her knowledge into content marketing. Content Journey takes SEO best practices and combines them with purposeful content to increase brand awareness. Lindsay has an extensive working knowledge of audience movements, data-driven strategy towards content creation, and SEO. Lindsay, thanks for joining me.
So happy to be here today, Rob. I'm excited for this conversation.
Yeah, me too. I think this is such an important topic, especially for cannabis marketers that a lot of them don't really understand yet. And you know, I'd like to begin that just with a little bit about, you know, what is content marketing and then how maybe you got started in it.
Yeah, so I feel like one of my specialties is driving organic traffic. And organic traffic means, like, we'll use Daily Story and Rob Howard as an example. If someone's looking for Rob Howard and Daily Story, they're going to find you, right? If they're going to Google that, you're going to come up. Your picture's going to be there, your website's going to be there, and it's all good. But then if there's somebody who says, I'm looking for an SMS solution to talk to my customers, do they still find Rob Howard and do they still find Daily Story? And that's where my magic happens, is not finding Rob Howard, but finding the solutions that you offer. And so that, in a nutshell, is what content marketing is, or how we approach it, is we go after these SEO terms for people who have never heard of your brand, never heard of your name, and help them find you.
Well, that's a great point. And, you know, hopefully they can find me pretty easily, but I appreciate you mentioning that. You bring up a really interesting topic, which is SEO. And I have often said when I talk with cannabis marketers that there's some key pillars, especially in the cannabis marketing industry, that you really have to pay attention to. And one that I think a lot of them tend to ignore, unfortunately, is SEO. So, I mean, when you think about content marketing, what kind of role does that play in SEO?
I think SEO is the strategy behind the marketing efforts. I think, honestly, you're going to talk to people who probably are still going off of best practices from 10 years ago, and they are adding keywords and it doesn't sound natural, and that turns us off. Or it sounds so technical and difficult that there's, like, the industry itself has just made everyone think that they can't possibly do it unless they hire someone. That is not the case. And you know, sometimes I have conversations with potential clients and eventually they go off and do it themselves, because you can. There are so many ways to go out there. Like, go look at Digital Marketing Kitchen or go look at HubSpot, right? There's all kinds of free courses and things that you can do and learn it yourself. But I think when done right, it helps you tell a better story to the search engines, because it's two parts, right? Content marketing is two things. Sometimes we talk to robots. That's the SEO part. Sometimes we're talking to humans, which is giving them helpful information. Like, there are so many things that people don't know about cannabis, about products in the cannabis industry, about how to use specific things and why there are different, you know, products out there. And so you have to be helpful, but we can do it in a way that talks to search engines that also makes your helpful, awesome content be one of the top results.
Yeah, that's such a great point. How does it tie back to cannabis marketing though? Because let's kind of hit it head on. I mean, cannabis marketing is its own animal. It's got all kinds of compliance issues. I mean, you've got, you know, we deal with that constantly with email or text messaging. What about content marketing SEO? Because, like, I think that SEO is so critical, because for a lot of these dispensaries, they can't do traditional ad networks. Like, they can't do, like, Google ads, they can't do Bing ads. So it makes SEO and content marketing super important. But what do you find with cannabis marketers? Like, what do you see they struggle with? What are they successful with?
Yeah. So I think there's two things. I think old school cannabis marketing was talking to your friend about something they enjoyed and where do you find it, and, you know, going in and consuming that product together, if you will, right? Or teaching each other new methods or something like that. And so I think taking that online with all of these new restrictions does pose a major problem. One, and this is actually across the board for all of my clients, is everyone loves Facebook and Instagram or TikTok or Twitter and all these things. And we think that's the most important place for us to tell our story and to share our message. I talked to someone last week and they had, like, they have, you know, 250,000 followers on Instagram. They spend a lot of time there. It's been shut down 5 times. And this last time it was shut down from January up until the week that I talked to them, because it finally made them realize, right? Like, it happens all the time. Their YouTube channel had been shut down and they have like 500,000 subscribers there, and they lose those platforms and they lose that opportunity to talk to them because they're not focusing on their website. They're focusing on social media. So I think that, and that's not unique to cannabis. I have clients all the time. They spend so much time on Facebook. And I keep trying to say, like, one algorithm change, which has happened, you lose all of those eyeballs. And you haven't set up a precedent of sharing your message on the property you own, which is your website, where you control the message. You get to lead people to product choices and sales funnels and into your brick and mortar stores. And so that's, like, that's definitely a problem, but it's not unique. It's something that everyone struggles with. And, you know, those who are successful, if you will, are the ones who really are trying to help the new users. You know, the people who have never been a consumer of cannabis, who are now considering trying it for the first time for various reasons, for medical issues or something that a friend talked to them about for anxiety or PTSD for our veterans out there. And so there's so many opportunities for education through really great quality content to some of those new people that I think cannabis people are missing. And I think that's just a huge space for them.
So it's interesting you mentioned education, because when I spoke with another guest a few weeks back, one of the things he mentioned was that primarily all they focus on from a content perspective is just education. Now, given they're on the product side of the cannabis marketing business, but it was interesting to me that he was not really worried so much about product promotion. He's like, all I'm focused on is, how do I educate my customers? How do I create content that educates them on YouTube, on my website? All the content marketing effort I put in, you know, probably 80% of it's going to be educational.
Yeah. Again, I don't think that's unique to this industry, but I think that we have lessons to learn from other people who do it really well. So I mentioned HubSpot, right? Like, they're amazing. And how many people actually use HubSpot? It's expensive. It's hard, you know, for a CRM, but they are the winner of educating us. I learn things from them all the time. I love being on their email list as a marketing person because they're always trying to teach me something new and have a new downloadable thing that I can implement in my own business. And so I think if we just look at what other companies have done and we copy that for this industry, like, there are going to be clear winners in the education space of who does that best and who attracts that the largest audience, or even the second largest audience or the fifth largest audience, because all of those are going to be pretty dang awesome and successful.
Oh yeah. Well, you're kind of in the thick of it working with cannabis marketers kind of day to day. What are some of your experiences like?
I can say I learn a lot of new things myself. Right? Because we're doing a lot of written content and educational content. One of the things we do at Content Journey is we actually have writers, no matter our industry, if it's mental health or restorations, like, cause we have a construction company. We have writers on our team that have that background. And so cannabis is the same. I don't know everything I need to know about it, but I get to learn a lot. So learning about, recently dry pollen, what that is and how to use it. And, you know, all of this. So it's always a learning opportunity for me. But what I try to tell the companies that I work with is I'm kind of a perfect target audience for them, because I am someone who wants to learn. I am someone that wants to use these components or use these products and tools that people have, and I don't know how. So whenever we do that, we always think, okay, how do we explain this to Lindsay so that she could understand and follow these steps? So it's like an internal team joke, I think.
Yeah, I'm sure you're getting a bunch of education on the job, right?
Yeah, absolutely. The team loves it. And, you know, some of them are more experienced than I am, but it helps us think, like, if we're going to help somebody who is starting at very low knowledge, like, how do we help them use this in a way that they're going to enjoy or find relief or, you know, whatever it is they're looking for? How do we explain that in a great way?
Where do things like email and text messaging fit into your content strategy?
Oh man, I love email and text messaging. I love it more than I do social media. What I tell everyone is, like, take anybody who follows you on social media, put them on your website and get them on your email list or, you know, your text message list as quickly as you possibly can. It's not as regulated as ads are. It's not as regulated as social media. So it is the direct way to continue to communicate with your customers. I work with a local company and we do text messages and they do specials for birthdays and things like that. And so, like, our customers get a text on their birthday that they get a discount. And our numbers show how often they get that text and then come in and make a purchase. We can't really consistently do that on Instagram, right? It might get shut down, might get taken off, or the person may not be looking at Instagram because it's their birthday. So they're probably out celebrating, but they have their phone and they're going to get a text message or check their email or, you know, along those lines and be like, oh yeah, I was going to go on Friday, but now I get to go on Wednesday and get 20% off. And so I think it helps the companies with sale numbers too, right? And there's no risk, like I said, of it getting shut down or regulated because of other rules that other people have.
What about compliance? How does compliance impact your ability to create content? When I mean compliance, I mean that, you know, we'll talk about the use of, let's say, Instagram as a channel for a Canvas marketer to communicate, and there's certain things that you can and cannot do. And if you do them, you risk getting your account suspended, which I think you referenced some examples of that earlier.
Yeah. Honestly, when we work with companies, we try to stay out of their social media presence because there are just so many regulations there. I try to let them lead that. If they want to choose to point references or have a graphic that sends back to the website, I absolutely want them to do that. But as far as I'm concerned, again, I don't want to be the reason those accounts get shut down because I don't have the tool set, to be perfectly honest with you, to get them turned back on quickly or easily. I think there might be people out there who can. Maybe that's another good person to bring on for another podcast, Rob, is like the companies who get cannabis operators back on social media. And so for me, I really play in that space of what can I do on the website to capture eyes that are looking for helpful educational content. They're asking the what ifs or the how to's. And so we just do a really good job there and try not to mess with anything else. Like we won't try to do ads. Like it's just not worth it.
I agree. It's so difficult to get any kind of ad network going or any of the kind of standard ad networks like Google Ads. I mean, it's virtually impossible. And you know, you mentioned talking to someone about social media. We actually have interviewed someone, I don't think it's released yet, talking about using Instagram for cannabis marketing. And it was just such a fascinating discussion about the challenges and the risks associated, because you're right. If you have an audience on social media of several hundred thousand people and you get shut down, the likelihood of you getting that account reestablished is low. Whereas your website, you control everything. You know, no one's going to come and hopefully shut that down, but it's a great place where you can communicate, you know, photos, content, product information, where to purchase, all those types of details that you just cannot touch even through other channels.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, one of the things we try really hard to do, and we've worked with clients that they do have a very specific voice and the way that they want to talk to their customers. And so, you know, that definitely comes across on social media where you can make jokes and you can be snarky or playful or and things like that. But there are ways that you can do that on your website as well that really showcase your personality and show like, we are an approachable brand. We don't care what your education level is, or like if you've been, you know, using for years, like we're going to help break this down for you so that you understand the whys. And I think this actually goes to a question you asked earlier. One thing I've definitely learned over the last, you know, 6 to 12 months working within this industry is just how much science is involved and how we really have to talk in such an educated way, but scientific way, while still being playful and fun and approachable. And like, that's such a hard place to find that middle ground of, and I'm not a science person, so I'm going to say this in the only way I know how to, but use science-y words in really intelligent ways while talking about marijuana kief. Right? Because it's so complex.
Oh, it is. Yeah. You know, and I think that kind of leads into another good topic, which is the brand voice or brand identity. And so you have different types of dispensaries and different types of cannabis marketers, whether it's a product marketer or a, you know, a manufacturer that creates gummies, whatever it may be. Each one is going to want to have a unique and different kind of voice to their brand. How do you help them establish that?
Yeah. So again, this isn't unique to this industry of how many people don't know what their brand voice is or what that means, or, you know, I'd hate to use the word persona development, right? To anyone across any industry. But, you know, one of the things that we do when we write for somebody is we do a really extensive onboarding and we try to help kind of pull that out because we do have that. I mean, you go to the Content Journey site, I think it's very apparent that it's my personality. And, you know, Rob, after a couple of conversations and probably even for people listening, I have a pretty distinct sense of self and how I act. And so I think that really comes across on the website. So people are really going to know, like, the colors are bright. The words are specific. There's fun and playful elements. But we also try to really talk about where we come from. Right. And so trying to find what that is, really, sometimes it just takes asking the right questions and then reiterating it back to people and being like, hey, well, you sound like you're telling me that you want to be very formal, but you're using lots of cuss words and making lots of jokes in our conversation. So I feel like if we're very formal on the website, it's not really going to match your brand personality. Like, what do you think? We just kind of like put that back on the client and just keep digging into that and help them go, okay, maybe you're right. Maybe we are a little bit more informal than what I was saying, but I feel like I have to like give this, I don't know, elevated presence, I guess, on the website. And I don't think you have to. I think you can really just be who you are and the right people are going to find you and be into that.
Do you find it's easier to work with the smaller kind of shops, I guess you could say, or the larger organizations? Are there different levels of receptiveness to taking them down that journey, that content journey of, you know, what this is going to mean for them?
Like what you did there. Yeah. I mean, I think as far as somebody who comes into a call with me, I mean, they have to have two things really. One is a website. You have to have a website to be able to work with me. And two is understand the importance of organic traffic. Like that's really it. And so I think, you know, there are some people who I've talked to that have smaller dispensaries and who are, you know, successful in their local market and, but trying to get more reach, especially in some of these really, really highly competitive spaces. And like they are, they're sort of handcuffed because of all the regulations of what they know to do. They can't do Google My Business really, which is like the king of local search. They can't really play on social media, but they don't understand SEO and content. And so I think there is like just a little bit more education that has to happen there. And so some of the bigger players, then they already know. They're like, we know we need content. We know we have to have an SEO strategy. And then it really just comes down to how many pieces of content and what the price point is, you know? And so I think, but I think everyone can benefit from it. It's just knowing that they can.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned something, I mean, you know, we're on the product side of the house, and we oftentimes require a website too. And it surprises me. I mean, I had a conversation with a grower maybe a week or two ago, and he was like, you know, I am so busy. I can't keep up with demand. I can't keep up with my communication. I know I need to do marketing. I know I need to like do outreach and tell my customers kind of what's available. And I was like, well, how's your website? He's like, I don't even have a website. And I was a little stunned because, you know, the success is great, but I think what a lot of these cannabis marketers don't realize, and especially ones that may not have kind of the business background, is that they're gonna quickly find themselves in a situation where they are unable to keep up with demand, unable to keep up with the ability to scale their business. And it's really gonna start doing them some damage. And by creating a website and by having a content strategy, it's a way they can almost allow their customers to self-educate, which I think that's part of what a lot of them don't realize the purpose of marketing is. It's not just to attract new business, it's also to educate existing customers and prospective customers about what you offer, how you can purchase it, where you are, what the product is. I mean, all those kind of details. And I think it's so important that, you know, especially even for the smallest cannabis marketer in the space, they have to have a website to start with.
Yeah. I mean, I think in this day and age, like anyone who's trying to do anything needs to have a website. But I think you're right. You know, it's not just a smarter customer, but it's a better customer. So like, we'll use my site as an example, or even Daily Story, right? Before somebody pushes click to purchase at Daily Story or makes a call to me, like they have gone through the information and they see what it's about. They pretty much know the price point. They can say, I can afford this or I can't afford this. But they're not going to Daily Story and clicking purchase and not knowing what they're purchasing. They're not coming to Content Journey and not knowing what they're getting into whenever they make that phone call. And so, and I think that same thing is for, you know, a local dispensary. It's, you are educating your customers so they become a better customer for you. And then they trust you and they like you and now they know you. And when they have 15 other places to choose from in an 8-block radius, who are they going to come back to again? Are they going to go into the store they don't know the people? Or are they going to go into the one where they do and like they helped them? And so like, to me, it's like, how do you create repeat customers amidst so much competition? It's, you have a website that helps them, that shows who you are, that makes them feel comfortable so that they know when they walk in the door what to expect, what to ask for. They know you're going to be helpful and answer all of their questions. And then they'll come back to you next time instead of someone else.
What about direct mail? Do you guys help with the more traditional direct mail content marketing too? Or is that something you tend to stay away from?
It's something I tend to stay away from. It's something I've done in my past. I mean, I did spend 10 years in politics. I think everybody knows who sends direct mail better than anyone else, and it's people looking for your vote. So my two cents from that part of my world is it can be really helpful. It can be really good. My one nugget of advice is to spend extra money getting a larger piece of content that's like two-sided postcard, like a really big one, rather than the small ones. Because, okay, and Rob can see this, nobody else can see this, but whenever the mail person puts your mail together to put it in the slots, they put it all together and then they pick the biggest piece and they wrap it in the biggest piece and they put it in the mailbox. And so no matter what happens, as they throw the rest of the junk away, they're always left with the biggest piece. And so when we vote or when we make a purchase, we need about 7 touches of that brand. And so if you do direct mail, spend extra money, get the biggest size, let them wrap it up in that way. And then you're at least getting your brand in front of them. So there's some kind of, you know, recognition. There's my gold. There's my direct piece gold.
I think that is a huge gold nugget. I mean, I just learned more about direct marketing in the last 2 minutes than I thought I knew for the last several years. That's just great advice. Cause I think most times people think about direct marketing, they're just going to put a little postcard together, throw it in the mail and see what happens. And your approach and what your recommendation there is that there's more than just the mail piece. There's actually the activity of what happens and how that mail piece is used. That's a phenomenal piece of advice.
Well, thank you. I'm so glad I could help. I'm feeling really proud of myself that I even remembered that. So I'm glad it worked out.
That's that background in politics. That's that unique experience that you get there.
Right. Absolutely. Well, I mean, in that, okay, here's one more then that I just thought of. So, you know, the door hangers. That's a great piece of direct mail, because especially for like this industry, instead of the bottom half being a tear off that's like remind me to vote, it's a bottom half of a coupon and come in and, you know, get this, or here's a receivable of some type. And then they keep that. They're going to throw away the top half of the door hanger. They're going to keep that bottom half, and, you know, you just get out there and walk the doors.
That's great. What about measuring the success of content marketing? How do you approach it? I mean, there's kind of the obvious stuff like, oh, I'll look at sales, I'll look at Google Analytics. What do you tend to focus on?
I really like to start of like, what is success for them? Like, what are they trying to get out of their website? Are they trying to get people to opt in to the newsletter? So are those the metrics that we need to pay attention to? Are we looking at open rates? Are we looking at click rates? I mean, this is your wheelhouse, right? Of metrics and email. But I really try to dig down with everybody because I think success is different for all of us. There's a lot of talk of like O2O. So like offline to online or online to offline marketing. Mindsize is actually an e-commerce shop in your neck of the woods in Texas. They just did an awesome blog post on this a couple of weeks ago, I think, that somebody retweeted that I saw. And so I think this industry could really benefit from that mindset of how do I get people online to offline, because we have to most of the time make purchases in person. And what are those strategies? And then what does success look like? Is it just more website visits for a local dispensary? I'm not sure, right? It might be. I think it's going to correlate to more business the higher their site traffic goes. But I wouldn't say that's the most important thing for them. I would probably say email signups, people who are wanting to continue to engage or receive discounts to their email inbox would probably be a really important metric for them. For some of these national product brands that can sell across state lines a little bit easier, then maybe it is website visits for them. The more traffic they get, the more attention they get. So like for them, that would be a different metric to look for. So I think it's just, you know, again, using my little marketing terminology, it's a smart goal for whatever that business is and whatever metric could be important to them.
All right, Lindsay. So if I'm a cannabis marketer and I'm running a dispensary and I now realize that I need to get my content marketing in order, how do I get a hold of you and how I get a hold of Content Journey to get started?
Yeah. So you can find us at contentjourney.com. I probably spend the most of my social media time on Twitter. So it's at Lindsay Miller WP. And we're also on Instagram. So you can find us at content.journey on Instagram. So lots of places.
Awesome. Well, Lindsay, I think that's a good place to stop. For more information, please see the show notes or visit dailystory.com. We've included links and other material in the show notes, including Lindsay's Instagram as well as the website to Content Journey. I'm Rob Howard, and thanks for listening.